Hello, this is Ian Harper welcoming you to Business of Weather podcast, produced in association with Intermet Digital, the online portal dedicated to extreme weather and climate change, flooding and poor air quality. In each episode, we'll investigate the increasing impact of extreme weather and climate change on business and society, and how weather technology and information services can address the growing challenges. We'll also spotlight the opportunities for entrepreneurs and startups to develop the business potential of assisting weather-affected enterprises. There's an old saying in journalism, if you want to know what's really going on, then follow the money. And never was this more true than in the context of climate change. In particular, the movement of investment funds out of companies judged to harm the environment and into companies offering climate solutions. In this episode of Business of Weather, we take a look at how one of Europe's major fund managers is dealing with the challenges and the opportunities of climate change. Storebrand Asset Management is a leading player in the Nordic market, managing $91 billion US dollars on behalf of investors ranging from pension funds to individuals. It is one of the founding signatories of the UN Principles of Responsible Investment. A founding member of the UN-convened Net Zero Asset Owner Alliance, and has pledged all of its investment portfolios will be net zero by 2050. We spoke to the Storebrand CEO, Jan-Erik Sorgestad, about how climate change is shaping the company's investment strategy. Jan-Erik Sorgestad, welcome to Business of Weather.
Thank you very much.
Right, let's just get the ball rolling by asking a few questions about Storebrand. How much money does Storebrand have under management? And how is this split between institutional and retail investors? And also, can you name any of your larger clients, such as pension funds?
Thank you, Ian. Storebrand manage $91 billion US dollars. As you mentioned, we serve a wide range of clients, ranging from retail clients through municipalities, pension schemes, and universities. And if I were to mention a couple of clients that have allowed us to do so. We have the University of Helsinki. We have a pension scheme on Iceland, LSR. We have the municipality of Stockholm. Also in Norway, several pension schemes, but also Gjensidige Insurance Company.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, I understand that you've been an advocate of sustainable investing since the mid-1990s and are a founding signatory of the UN Principles for Responsible Investment. Tell me, what do you believe are the main risks to investors posed by climate change?
As you point to, Storebrand has been an active, sustainable investor for more than 25 years. And climate risk is certainly acknowledged as one of the greatest risks facing humanity. Clearly it represents a risk to our long-term economic growth. And as a long-term investor, we do depend on a sustainable economic growth. So that's the macro perspective. If you dig further into the climate risk, of course, frequent and severe climate-related events may cause major impact on products and services and supply chains. Extreme weather events, increased fires, droughts, hurricanes, flooding, but also very much related to climate risk is biodiversity, and clearly loss of biodiversity is a key business risk and relevant for us as investors.
Right, now tell me, how has your investment strategy changed in recent years when it comes to, for example, fossil fuel companies and other companies considered to harm the environment? Is Storebrand now an active divestor in such companies?
Over the years, we have really been pushing the boundaries for how we invest. There are certain companies we are not invested with. There are certain business activities we are not invested in, and companies that we believe represent a high investment risk. On the flip side, there is also many companies and an increasing amount of companies that provide solutions to the problems. The major part of the companies are adapting their existing businesses to position themselves well for the growth opportunities that are represented by the Sustainable Development Goals, or for that matter, the climate goals of the Paris Agreement. So I would definitely say that we are not sort of positioning ourselves as an active divestor. Our intent is to stay invested. We want to invest in solutions. We want to actively engage in order to help companies transform and contribute to the green transition that is required. And divesting is really the last resort. It's when we believe the company is not willing to change their business, when they don't understand the risk associated with their existing business practice. So that's, the last resort.
Right, okay. Now, you mentioned the opportunities of investing which are being created. Where do you think the main opportunities for investment lie in respect of climate change and sustainability?
Well, when we look at solutions, it's across many teams, both climate, sustainable infrastructure and cities, circular economy, and also empowerment, i.e. bringing financial services and communication services and health services to a wider audience at an affordable price. Coming back to the climate issue, of course, there are significant opportunities if you look in the sort of renewable energy space, energy distribution, energy storage, and basically the whole value chain in order to provide energy, but also in when you look at also production of different raw materials.
Right, thanks for that. Now let's just take a look at Storebrand's investors. How do your investors perceive the impact of climate change and issues of sustainability? How does Storebrand engage with investors on climate change-related type issues?
Well, when you refer to investors in Storebrand, it's really, clients of Storebrand you're referring to.
Clients, I mean investors in your funds.
Exactly. And, it's been a journey. If we go back in time, the awareness on climate issues and the awareness on sustainability issues were not that common. So it was a lot of NGOs a more limited group of clients that really were interested in sustainable investing and what we had to offer. That has changed dramatically. I would say in the course of the last 5 years, it has now become a requirement from most clients that we have a clear sustainability policy and that the investments contributes in the right direction. That is at least true if you look at many of the Nordic clients.
Now, many investors say they feel ongoing engagement with companies to get them to change their activities is more effective than divesting from them. Have you not found such corporate engagement to be effective in getting companies to green their activities?
Absolutely. We share that perspective that just working through the cost of capital through divesting, or for that matter, investing in solutions, will work, but it's a long time horizon. Engagement can in many cases have a sizable impact and a quicker impact. So we definitely do a lot of engagement, to some extent directly with individual companies, but in most cases we work through alliances like the Climate Action 100 Plus, to mention one very sizable alliance.
Business of Weather, spotlighting the business opportunities of extreme weather and climate change. Right, now one UK newspaper has said that while Storebrand is one of the many major financial institutions divesting from industries considered to be harmful to the environment, it is believed to be the first to actually sell shares in companies which use their influence to slow the pace of climate action. Is this correct? And what is the process you use to decide which companies are using their influence to obstruct climate action?
It is correct, and it's part of our renewed climate strategy. And if we want to create change, we believe it's important that the investors, companies, and governments pull in the same direction. Because if we want successful investments, we also need successful regulation. And that is why we included a lobby criteria in our sustainability policy. Because companies that are pulling in the wrong direction are not only representing a risk and they are slowing down the process of getting a more sustainable growth, but clearly in many cases the lobbying activity is also reflecting a lack of recognition of the challenges it had, and as such maybe represent a risk of that particular company that we want to avoid. After all, we're a long-term investor. We need sustainable growth. We need sustainable regulation. And we need companies that want to contribute to that.
Right now, do you think the fossil fuel companies and others you consider are engaged in activities which are harmful to the environment have been very successful in lobbying policymakers in respect of areas such as regulation?
The lobby criteria is really consisting of three elements. So one is the stance of the organization. The other is the company's membership in different associations and the level of activity. At least, you know, coming to your question, how efficient this lobbying has been, I think there is now a recognition among politicians that in some areas investors are actually leading the way and the governments are following. Whether that is as a consequence of lobbying or there are other reasons for that, at least there is a recognition that the government has to move faster.
Right. Can you tell me which companies you've actually withdrawn your investments from for lobbying policymakers on areas such as regulation? Which companies have you actually divested from to date?
We announced or made an announcement on our new climate policy last week, and in that announcement, we also were transparent in terms of five companies that were if you like, excluded for our from our investment universe, and that was BASF, Chevron, Exxon, Rio Tinto, and the Southern Company in the US.
Right, so some pretty big companies there. Are there any more in your sights, on your list for potential divestment?
As I said, our objective is not to sort of expand on the list of companies we divest from. But we do monitor on a broad basis lobbying activity. As a matter of fact, we use a lot of insight and data from Influence Map to help us in that work. And of course, we gain experience in our work in the alliances in terms of engagement and insight into lobbying activities.
Business of Weather, spotlighting the business opportunities of extreme weather and climate change. Oil companies such as ExxonMobil, Chevron, and the many other big players in the global oil market are pretty important investments for the likes of pension funds and other investors because of the significant dividends they pay. If you don't invest in such companies, how can you maintain the dividend levels you need to meet your clients' requirement for income?
We have been investing in a sustainable way for more than 25 years. Our sustainability policy underpins all our investment activities. And we have been able to provide our clients with market or better better than market return based on this policy. Clearly, oil and gas, we will need oil and gas companies in the transition. We have committed ourselves to a net, to a climate neutral portfolio consistent with the Paris Agreement by 2050. But over these years, we will need oil and gas companies. However, we will need oil and gas companies that recognize the challenge, that assess their investment plans, and are able to channel their cash flow either back to us as investors or into more renewable areas where they have a competitive advantage. So there are still several oil and gas companies that we are invested with, and we highlighted both BP and Equinor as two companies that are moving in the right direction and moving reasonably fast.
Right, thanks for that. Now, do you think companies which are engaged in environmentally harmful activities should aim to cease these activities altogether wherever possible, rather than try, for example, to mitigate them by using carbon offsetting or carbon capture and storage technologies?
Well, there are certain sectors we have decided to divest from completely. And I'm then thinking about coal and oil sands. And we do not believe that these sectors should represent any part of the future energy mix. When you talk about carbon capture and storage, clearly to deploy that at scale and cost efficient would indeed be part of the solution. The problem is that at the moment, that technology is not available or it remains very expensive. And we therefore think that it's we need to be very cautious to base our strategy to reach the Paris Agreement on carbon capture and storage. We need to see a clear reduction in the use of fossil fuels.
If I can just return to ExxonMobil, last December, the people of the state of New York lost a legal action against ExxonMobil. This action alleged that the company had fraudulently misled the state of New York, which is a major investor in the company, about the impact of its activities on climate change. Do you believe legal actions by investors against fossil fuel and other polluting type companies will increase in the future?
It is difficult to predict, but clearly there is a legal risk for companies that knowingly pollute and contribute significant to environmental degradation or climate change. Yes, I do think legal action is likely to increase in the future. And it's increasingly also recognized that the board's responsibilities when it comes to both assess climate risk and have the appropriate financial disclosure of climate risk is increasing.
Okay, now, one final question. Looking ahead, how do you see the role of the investment community in respect of climate change evolving? Do you see regulation becoming an increasingly important issue for the investment community?
Coming back to my point that we really need to contribute to a sustainable growth. Historically, investors have been engaging with companies. We have been divesting for certain businesses, and we have been investing in solutions. I think increasingly there will be a recognition that it's really investors, companies, and governments. And I expect that the investment community increasingly also will engage with governments in order to ensure that the regulation and legislation will support a sustainable growth.
Okay, well, that concludes today's interview. Jan-Erik Sorgestad, CEO of Storebrand Asset Management, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian.
You've been listening to Business of Weather, the only podcast dedicated to the business opportunities of extreme weather and climate change.